Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Well, it's not Steve Arterburn. This is Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for Steve today. And I have the privilege and the honor to sit with Dr. Sherry Keffer.
Hey.
Hey, Sherry. It's good to be
it's
with you.
It's good to be here. We have the girls team here
today. We do. And Dr. Alice Benton.
Good morning.
Hey, Alice. Well, it's going to be a good day because you're two of the best, and this is going to be fun. But I wanted to open up with a bit of scripture. And the scripture I wanted to open with comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And maybe just leading into it, we had a devotional this morning, and in our devotional, we talked about standing stones. God had his children, the children of Israel. Anytime there was a praiseworthy deed of the Lord, he would want them to erect a stone, a standing stone, or pile some stones. And there's examples of that in Genesis and in Joshua. There's some great things that happen. Well, in Peter, 1 Peter, he writes, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And he wants our lives to be those standing stones, to be those monuments, to be the voice of the good things that happen in our lives so we can go out and share them with others. And that's just a real encouragement to me because having been over to Israel and seeing what you see and knowing how much has gone over there, we've had as much go on in our lives, and how come we're not creating those standing stones and telling people what happened?
Well, even embedded in the verse, you said he was rejected by men and chosen by God.
Yeah.
Think about how our faith and our lives would look if we were just to believe that one thing. Think about how many of us have been rejected by somebody.
Yeah.
If we could actually believe and identify with Christ that our rejection by somebody, on the other side of that, the truth is we've been chosen by God. And let that sink in like Jesus did.
Yep.
We could actually do a lot of good in our life and get out of the pits that we end up getting stuck in. So.
Very good point.
Yeah.
I love that. One of the best things about our workshops is that people they come to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
They so often come there feeling down and bothered and thinking they're outside of God's love and whatever's happened to them or what they've done to other people, they can't possibly be loved by God. And then they hear the truth with grace, and it just changes things. It absolutely changes things. So thank you for that insight. I just wanted to know, if you call us with a gift of any amount, we want to say thank you by sending a book that Dr. Stoop wrote, Dr. Dave Stoop. It's Forgiving What You'll Never Forget. He has written so well about forgiveness, and you can understand so much. I often say he's forgotten more about forgiveness than I'll ever learn. He just gets it inside out. He'll bring things of the Old Testament and New Testament to your truth. So take a look at that book. Give us a call and make a gift to New Life. We need it. Also, we're going to be on 2 more hours. So if keep calling this morning. 800-229-3000 is the phone number to get on the program. So if you're not on the first hour, hang on, because we're going to do this for 2 hours after this. And also in terms of giving, if you want to join Club New Life, we'll give you a Take Your Life Back Day by Day devotional, a flash drive with five segments from tv.newlife.com, and it will sustain us. Give us a call. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, my name is Shelley Martinkus, and I am so excited to share with you the new workshop, and it's called Restore. Restore is a workshop specifically designed for women that are dealing with betrayal in their marriage. The workshop is going to complement the men's experience at Every Man's Battle. When you leave this workshop, you'll have practical tools that you can take with you in order to move forward in your recovery, and you will also have a deeper understanding of yourself and what you need.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Denver April 21st through the 23rd. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go online to newlife.com.
Ladies, I want you to know there is hope for you and there is hope for your marriage. I hope you'll join me.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Before we go to the phones, I want to talk about and have you hear a little bit of the New Life TV clip. You know, we have been doing New Life TV for a couple years now, and it here it is. We have a deal going on right now. You can get the best deal we've ever had, I think, on New Life TV. Just go to New Life TV and sign up. It's at tv.newlife.com, and you get over 50% off the regular price. You pay $45 for a year, and that's less than $4 a month. Today, our featured segment is something you don't want to miss. It's Steve's Got 12 Tips to Mix the Spiritual with the Sexual in Your Marriage. It's another little teaser from his book that's about to come out, the Mediterranean Love Style. He and Misty wrote this book, The Mediterranean Love Plan. But the first tip is the best of all. Let's hear that, Terry.
The suggestion is that you would read the Song of Solomon together. Now, my wife and I went to a sex camp kind of thing. It was, you didn't do this in front of other people. I've seen some documentaries like that. No, this is very conservative. A physician couple did it. So interesting to me. They mentioned every kind of sexual reference from every kind of religion, except Christianity. How can you do anything in the area of sexuality and not bring up Song of Solomon? I mean, the whole book is about sexual intimacy. It's really great because it gets you comfortable with every issue of sexuality. And I don't care if you're starting out or in the middle or whatever, there usually comes a time when sexual intimacy is not perfect, not comfortable. We go through different phases. If you hit it, pull out Song of Solomon or one of these books after you, of course, get our book and read it for the other six secrets.
The Song of Solomon. Why is it you think people forget that God made our sexuality?
I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of faith-based people are afraid to actually even go there.
They are, aren't they?
You've kind of grown up with the idea that, oh, the Song of Solomon, you know, I don't know if we should read this together, but what a great idea to sit down, because it doesn't just talk about the act of sex. It actually talks about how much somebody matters and how much you value them, what you see in them, both in their heart and on their body. And it's a very beautiful love story. And so it's just one of those books that I don't know why we don't spend more time.
I think it's because Satan has hijacked the sexual arena in our culture.
I think you're right.
And he wants to take something that's beautiful, good, and meant to be godly, really spiritual. And Satan has taken it and
made it all about just erotica without connection.
Yeah.
And so many of our listeners, for them, their sexual experience is connected to pain and to abuse. And where is God in all of that? Mm-hmm. And so it's easy to forget when the world and other people disconnect God from sex and make it the exact opposite of what God wanted it to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if you want to hear 11 more tips, just sign up for tv.newlife.com today. It's just $45 for a year. Yeah, best deal of the year, over 1,300 videos. And you can access them 24/7, 365. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Robert. He's in Nashville, Tennessee. Robert, how are you today?
Well, I've been better.
Okay, I'm sorry. Tell us what's going on.
Well, I got a few questions, but I'm going to have to give you a history. I've been married for nearly 26 years. And my wife, I'm going to have to take you back to her childhood. She was molested by her father, which abandoned her and her mother when she was 9. And some other family molested her also. Her mother knew, but she never did nothing about it. My wife and I got together at an early age. She was 15. And, of course, we dated and had been together and whatnot, and we married at 18, and we've got 2 children. Early in our marriage, I stepped out and did some things, and I finally come to the conclusion one day, I'm being a fool. I got a beautiful wife, a beautiful family. There's no need to do this. I've been driving a semi for 23 years, and we've been to counseling. She had an affair. I found out 2012. She had been having an 18-month affair. And we went to counseling, and I pretty much was devastated. I almost had a nervous breakdown because the worst thing that could have happened is I had to go to work and be locked in a box with nothing but my thoughts for days on end. But I got through it. And I thought we were building something. Well, about a year later, I found out she's communicating with the guy again.
Same guy?
I found the Lord, though, after the first time, and that helped me immensely. I went back to the church and went when I could. I went down and seen the fella and tried to reason with him. I was very nice. And I even asked him to forgive me for the bad thoughts I'd had of him and the bad words I've said. And, you know, just leave my family alone. Well, a little time went by. I'm thinking we're rebuilding. Well, lo and behold, she decided to tell me one day that she just can't stop talking with him. And I told her then to just pack a bag and go on.
So what's your question for Sherry and Alice?
Well, we've been working through these things. And I just found out again Friday that I seen her, you know, messaging him. This time I did something different. I left. I went and got a room. And then I left out in the truck Saturday. I've been gone ever since. But I told my children finally. They're adults. I went ahead and just told them. And she, you know, owned up to everything. And I called home the other night to talk to my son. He's still in and out. To find out about how I handle my bills, because my wife's been doing all that, and she wanted to talk, and she asked if there were any second chances. I told her she's long past her number. I said, but it is not out of the question. I love my wife, but I don't want to be without her.
Okay.
The question I have is I'm going to talk to her in private probably tomorrow night. Do I just talk to her and walk away? I don't want her to feel like I'm abandoning her. I'm paying all the bills, the groceries. I'm not leaving her like that. The more I'm with her, the more I want to be with her, and I don't want her to think that there's no consequences to her actions.
Okay. Well, ladies,
Robert, I heard so much pain in your voice as you've been talking. I think I heard your voice break a few times as you've been telling us your story. And there's been a long history of pain, and you seem so aware of what your wife has been through. You have a lot of compassion and empathy for her sexual molestation. And I think that you are at a point where you do need to protect your heart to be able to make wise and not rash decisions, because it sounds like you do love your wife. You may be open to reconciliation, but you can't trust her right now. And you can't trust her for good reason. You'd said before that you were in counseling. Are you getting any assistance, whether from a therapist or your pastor, a men's support group at this point?
No, ma'am. My wife and I, since our daughter went to college last year, she brought up the idea of coming back out on the road. I had been running local to be home, and she said, we'll treat it like a vacation. You know, she don't drive, but she's with me. And all the while she's sitting next to me, she's still messaging this guy, you know, and that's what hurts the most. I don't know my wife.
Well, what you don't know maybe right now is what we're going to give you, another piece of the puzzle. Because this morning we opened the show, and you actually said, Alice, that sometimes with sexuality it's filled with pain. And your wife, I think, has a love, sex, and relationship addiction. It's manifested more around one person, but she has she really needs to get into a place that can understand what's going on. There's actually a treatment facility called Bethesda in Tennessee, and they actually work with women who have issues of sexual acting out or emotional affairs, of which this is both. It's not something that you can really pray away, hope away, have her jump in the cab of your truck and drive away. It's a long-term reaction to a very traumatic event. She's looking for two things. One, sexuality for her was a betrayal with her dad, and it was filled with pain. And so you're the man that would offer her more safe sexuality. But she's running from you, just like she wanted to run away from her dad. So that's why she's got to have a relationship outside of your marriage. She's trying to find a dad and a safe sexual partner at the same time that she doesn't have to really be intimate with. You're the guy that she would have to be intimate with. You've had kids together. You've lived life together. But she is still like a young girl in her trauma wounding running away from home. And so until you guys get into some deep treatment, you're not going to see any changes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I had her in counseling, and every counselor said the same thing. They, you know, that they actually told her, I'm not the problem. Anything I've done, because I owned up to everything after, you know, everything come out with her and everything. I wanted to start a whole new slate. No lies, no nothing, you know, leave the past.
I get it.
To go forward, I had to go back to the past.
I get it. But both of you, Bethesda actually has a part of their program has you come into it for a while, right? They have the husband come in, and they work with you guys as a couple. This is some intensive work, and it's going to require a deeper healing. Deep wounds need deep healing, and I don't hear that she's gotten that yet, and that's your first step. Is getting her in to a place that really gets the wounding, but can also address her sexual acting out.
And Robert, my concern is for the kind of work that you do and all the time that you spend alone. Because if we make decisions out of our loneliness, we tend to go back to people that are still in a toxic behavior pattern. And so if you don't have any support, if you're not getting together with men regularly, it would be very hard not to succumb to her asking for a second chance now, perhaps before she goes into treatment. So I really want you to think about getting into a support group. If you belong to a church, they have prayer groups. They have support groups. A pastor would be willing to meet with you. And even an Al-Anon sort of a group could help as well, because that is giving support and education to people who deal with family members that have addiction, which includes sexual addiction too. So please don't make quick decisions out of your loneliness. Get support from other men so that you can make a wise decision, so that you can wait to see changes from treatment for your wife. before risking your heart again.
Well, Robert, thank you for calling. Do you think How We Love would be a good one, or is there a better book that comes to your minds for Robert or his
wife? What? It's interesting. The one that's come in my mind would actually be Worthy of Her Trust, even though it's written for men. I actually, if you can kind of read it and put your wife in where Jason speaks to men, but if you can just transfer the gender, I think that would be a really good read for you so that you know what you can ask in light of what Alice just said, that you're worthy of her trust. And that's the one I would send out.
Okay, let's do that. That sounds really good. You know, I just got back from Every Man's Battle, and I want to share real quick a testimony because we have another one coming up in Atlanta in April. Man comes in. I shake everybody's hands on their way in, say hi, and this man says, "I'm only here for my son-in-law. I brought him here." Yeah, well, fast forward to Sunday, he gets up and does his testimony. And when he's doing his testimony, he says, "When I got here, I didn't have a problem." He said, "And I still don't have sexual addiction issues or porn issues. But boy, did I learn a lot here, and boy, did I realize how poorly I was treating my wife and how I was doing intimacy backwards and how my family deserves more and they deserve better." And he looked his son-in-law in the eye and pointed him out in the back of the room, and he said, "I love you, and I love you more now than I ever have, and I forgive you." And he walked over and gave him a great big bear hug.
Wow.
And it was just really moving. Because not only did his son get the benefit of what Every Man's Battle does, so did his father-in-law.
That's awesome.
So sign up for Every Man's Battle, guys. You need it. We'll be back right after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the Every Man's Battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, welcome back. Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for Steve Arterburn with Dr. Sherry Keffer and Dr. Alice Benton. And we're going to go right back to the phones and talk to Jean. She's one of our Canadian listeners up in Manitoba, listens on the internet. Hello, Jean.
Hi.
How can we help you today?
Well, I need some help on how to restore a relationship with my adult son. He's 36 years old. He's divorced with two kids, my oldest grandchildren, and I don't even know why, really, that he's withdrawn from me. He, in September, we had just a really, really good conversation. He hugged me and thanked me for all I had done to help him and his kids over the summer, and And then in October, I had a baby shower for my daughter, and he got upset because we invited his former wife and not his girlfriend because she doesn't know my daughter, and he hasn't been back to my house since. He won't talk about it. He refused to come to Thanksgiving, to Christmas. He doesn't let me have the kids. I don't know what to do.
How far away does he live from you?
He lives about only 25 miles. Mm.
So what's your question for us? What specifically do you want us to know?
Well, how can I restore a relationship with him? I want him to be a part of the family. You know, I want to be able to see my grandchildren.
Have you thought about, Jean, that baby shower actually for him was experienced as a breach of trust?
Well, my daughter was the one that wanted to invite his wife, former wife, and I talked to him about it ahead of time. I told him, you know, that she had been invited so that he wouldn't hear it in another form or way. And, you know, I guess I kind of felt like I was between my daughter and him, you know, because it's her baby shower and this is who she wants to have there. And then, you know, his former wife didn't come anyway.
Okay, well, she probably had some emotional boundaries that she wasn't really ready to face that. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes it's really hard for family members to actually put themselves into the shoes of the ones that have just gone through the divorce. It's so fresh.
It had been 3 years.
But that can still be fresh for somebody to have their family member invited to an event.
Mm-hmm.
Is that hard for you to take in? Is that hard for you to consider? Even with me inviting you into the conversation, there's somewhat of a defending around protecting your daughter and what she wanted. And I'm wondering if he hasn't felt that too. Like, I don't really know how to get it across to them how painful this is. Men have a harder time, actually, I think. I don't know what your experience is, Alice, but I think men have a harder time processing these deeper emotions. I think it actually takes them longer because they kind of compartmentalize them and shut them down and stick them in a box and bury it under 20 feet of cement.
Not just deeper emotions, any emotions.
Yeah. But this is a biggie, right? Yeah. This is, I've divorced my wife. We've got two kids. We're probably doing the best to co-parent. Mm-hmm. But I think everybody else thinks it's time to move on. It's time to get over it. And yet there may be this living abscess that's still alive and well in his heart. And the only way he knows how to communicate that to you right now is distance, because he can't get heard.
Well, he had a really good relationship, you know, working relationship with his ex-wife until this new woman came into his life. And because Christmas 2015, he'd only been dating her a couple months. I had met her once, and he asked if he could bring her to Christmas.
Right. So he's wanting you guys to get over it, right? You're wanting him to move past it, and he's wanting you to get over it.
So I did invite her to Christmas, and she came with her two kids, and it was quite a disaster, actually. Too much alcohol. You know, my son has a problem with that, and quite obviously his new person does. And
So, Jean, I'm going to step in here because I hear there are complications on both sides, and you had very understandable reasons for doing what you did, inviting the ex-wife, inviting the ex-wife and not inviting the girlfriend. If you want to restore connection with your son, I'm going to offer a couple of steps that you can take that will be difficult to take, but they'll give him the space to be able to speak with you, and you'll need to do some things to make it a safe space. So one would be inviting him to talk and give you feedback about how he feels, and even offering him some thoughts about how you imagine he feels, and you don't have to agree with it, to imagine he felt perhaps betrayed, perhaps angry, that he felt a rejection of his girlfriend. And you don't have to agree with any of that. All you have to do is listen. And Milan Yurkovich's comfort circle can help you to do that. But if we don't create a safe space, and if we're not willing to listen without explaining our understandable reasons why we did something, you still may have that distance from your son.
And we're going to come back right after this and finish up with your call. So hold on.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
You know, one of the great things about tv.newlife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip. And that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem. And it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Gene, we just wanted to say that as Alice was talking about the comfort circle, we'd like to send you Mylan K's book, How We Love. The comfort circle is shared in there in detail and with a lot of other wonderful tools and wonderful insights. So we hope that is going to help you. So,
and Larry, can I just briefly say, being defensive and explaining why we do things, it's just a natural human tendency. We all do it, especially in our most intimate relationships, because we want the other person to understand. But it makes it unsafe, and it shuts the other person down emotionally. My husband and I have struggled with that, and the comfort circle taught us the steps to make it safe and to truly listen to each other. And the end goal is not even agreement. It's just to be heard. So, Gene, that will equip you, and if you want to reconnect with your son, that will be a great tool to use to do it.
I'll tell you how good that How We Love book is and how working at New Life has helped. Rhonda and I have been married almost 40 years. We're redoing our kitchen and our outside patio areas, and we're still talking to one another.
That's good.
Evidence. It works.
Okay. Let's talk to Lynn. Where is Lynn? She's in Souderton, Pennsylvania. Listens on WBYN. Hello, Lynn.
Hi. I just had a hopefully quick question for you. My husband has a history of porn addictions, and I was wondering, is it okay to ask him how he's doing and if he's had any setbacks?
Now, what would make you think, Lynn, that it wasn't okay?
Well, I don't want to, like, if he hasn't had any setbacks, I don't want to, like, trigger anything or make him think about it, or, you know, I don't want to be a problem if he is doing well, but we haven't talked about it in a couple of years, and a friend of mine is acting out in her marriage, and it just made me think about him, and I just wondered.
So my thought on it is, so what I hear you saying is you're afraid if you bring it up that somehow it's going to trigger him and he's going to start thinking about it and then go act out.
Or is she afraid that he maybe has and she doesn't want to hear that?
Is that a part of it as well?
Well, I sort of expect him to have setbacks because he's not in any counseling, and until the last year and a half, he wasn't even meeting with anyone regularly. Nobody knew but me. So I sort of expected him to have setbacks, and I know he's had them before, but in the last year and a half, he's been meeting with a pastor, so I haven't really asked. So it's not like I'm afraid that he's having. I just want to know.
Do you check in general to see how he's doing, or do you not check in at all?
I have just every now and then said, how are you doing? Are you okay? And his answer is, yeah, I'm okay.
So let me tell you what happened in my first marriage. I was actually really afraid to ask because I think there was a part of me that really didn't want to know what was going on. But because I didn't ask, and kind of like your situation, I hate to say, because he wasn't in any formalized sex addiction recovery program. He wasn't going to an SA group. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to a workshop like Every Man's Battle. He wasn't connected to other men who struggle. He was trying to do it solo. He was acting out. And so I used to say, well, how you doing? And he'd say, I used to say, are you struggling? He's like, I'm doing okay. Well, now, what I've asked women to do, and I invite them to say, when is the last time you've sexually acted out? When is the last time you've looked at porn? When is the last time you've gone on the internet? I make it really concrete because it'll do two things. It's going to either force him to lie or it's going to force the truth to come out. But either way, Lynn, the idea that he's handling this on his own just with a pastor, it makes me scared for you. Because I don't think you can just get over it by meeting with a pastor. And you know this, Larry, more than anyone, anybody.
He needs to be in a group of guys. And preferably with a group of guys who aren't afraid to talk about the difficult issues, who aren't afraid to ask the tough questions, who aren't afraid to say, call me in the middle of the night if you're struggling, or if they're struggling, they can call him. It's not a loner. And pastors, you know, there are a lot of wonderful pastors in this world, but most pastors aren't equipped to deal with these kinds of problems.
It creates an illusion to the deception. It creates an illusion that he's actually doing the work, and he's not. You think it's safe, but he's not.
You might encourage him to go to Every Man's Battle, just as a refresher to help him through his recovery.
We talked about that back in 2009 when it became apparent, but it was just not an option for us at the time, and it's still not an option.
Why is it not an option? Wait. You can't get away with that. Why is it not an option?
Because finances.
We give scholarships. We give scholarships.
He won't make a phone call himself.
Well, you make it for him and tell him you signed him up.
I didn't think you could do that.
Well,
I did once, and I got the impression that he needed to call him.
Well, he'll probably need to call and confirm that the situation that he's going to attend. But
what does that tell you about a husband who's unwilling to go? And, Lynn, this is where I really want you to open your eyes, because I think you're in denial.
Probably.
Yeah? Good.
I mean, this has been 2009 to now.
It's
been at least a year and a half. It was May of 2015 when he admitted he was still having a problem and struggling and started meeting with the pastor.
So, Alice, why do people go in denial?
I think we feel safer in denial. We're afraid of reality. I have been many times in my life, and something I learned here from New Life is that reality is our friend, even though it hurts. It's our friend because it helps us realize what's truly going on, and then it allows us the opportunity to actually do something about it. There's an elephant in the room in your house, and you and your husband seem to be doing circles around it, and yet you feel the presence. You feel the fear. I have also not asked the question because of my own fear, so I can really empathize with you. And I want to equip you and encourage you that you have the right to ask. And it's the most loving thing you could do for yourself and for your husband, because there's very likely a poison that's running through your marriage, that's running in this relationship. And it's affecting you and your husband every day, even if it's just the fear of what could be going on. But as Sherry's talking about, there's a likelihood. And you said it yourself. You said, I actually expect setbacks because he's getting so little help. So you get to require more from him for his good and yours and for the sake of your marriage. You get to require that he goes to Every Man's Battle, or that he gets help from a counselor, a professional counselor who has experience with pornography use or sex addiction. And then even if money is an issue, there are Sex Addicts Anonymous groups out there all over. You can just Google it and they're free. And you get to expect that of your husband. And I want to give you something really simple that my husband and I set up to help me get over my fear of checking in with him. Because it is a good sign that he's getting help from a pastor. That's good. That's not nothing. It's not enough, though. So what my husband and I set up between us is planned proactive conversations, because I was too afraid to ask, but I needed to know. I needed a check-in. So we decided a timeline of how often we would check in. And at first, I needed a weekly check-in. And so I asked him to be the one to initiate the conversation. Now, not every spouse is willing to. You may have to be the one to initiate, but you can set up an agreement with your husband. Once a week, I need to check in with you, and I need you to let me know how you're doing. And as Sherry said, when was the last time that you accessed porn? Those planned weekly conversations can help you equip you with the reality and add some accountability, but you shouldn't be the only accountability in his life. It should be a man, a safe man outside of your relationship, and hopefully a professional. Lynn, what do you think about the feedback that we're giving you?
I will ask, and I will be direct. I don't know that a weekly plan to check in, I don't know if checking in will work with him or not. He, in the past, and again, it's been so long since I've asked, in the past, he's just been very defensive and brings up the, oh, you don't trust me, when are you going to trust me again? But again, it's been almost 2 years since I've even asked a question. So,
and then I'm going to jump in right there to say you have reason not to trust him, unfortunately, and that defensiveness is so common in these situations. And what has really helped equip me is that we need evidence of the change. We need evidence of the change, and that can be access to the pastor and being part of those conversations with the pastor. It can be seeing whether or not he goes to meetings, if you ask that of him. But we don't have trust for a reason, and trust is only built on evidence of change over an extended period of time.
And Lynn, he is as frightening or scared as you are of what he might be doing and what it might mean to your marriage. He's scared too. And to get through that fear, he needs to be around some other guys and to learn some things in truth. And if he won't go to the Every Man's Battle workshop, what do you think about them going to the Intimacy and Marriage workshop as a first step?
Yep, I think that's a great first step, especially if he'd be willing to go.
It might be a little less threatening. He's going as a couple, and it's not him being the bad guy in this thing. It's the two of you working together. That's another option to think about. But what Worthy Ever Trust?
Yeah, that'd be great.
We'll send you that book. We'll be back. Please call us, 800-229-3000.
First time I listened to the program, I was pretty much hooked just because of the honesty and compassion and caring that was given to the callers.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
It's just amazing to me the impact the ministry has had on people's lives.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and transformation. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I can't think of a better place. There's been times that my husband and I have talked about it when money maybe is a little tighter or whatever, and I thought, well, but it seems like I will turn on the radio and I will hear something. I'll think that's why I do it, because there's just so much out there. And the way it's handled is just awesome.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. I just want to remind you we're on for two more hours, so call us at 800-229-3000. If we don't get your call this hour, we will take it in one of the next hours. Okay, let's go to Catherine in Washington, D.C. Catherine, first-time caller, it says. Hello.
Hi there. I've been married for 10 years, and my husband is a pastor, and I found out 1 year ago that he, despite us having two tiny children, he has been doing all of this stuff actually for the past 5 years, he said. He said it's been porn, masturbation, casual sex encounters with both men and women, so actually having sex with men and women, and then he's also doing online chats where he's taking pictures of himself and doing that for other men, and men do it for him as well. And he says he just can't stop. He says he's gotten it down this past year, just doing it with men now. He says no longer with women, but he said he just can't stop with at least doing it with at least men. And so he wants to find a way to stop, because he's definitely suicidal, and he gets very, very angry. So I get scared to bring up anything to him, but I really want him to go to the Every Man's Battle. I just don't want to step on his toes, so to speak, because he typically leaves. He'll leave for a while, then he'll come back. So it's just like a really hard situation.
Did he just confess this to you one day?
Yeah, basically he said that he wanted a divorce, and I said, but we don't have any major problems. We don't have infidelity. Why do you want a divorce? And he said, well, I just haven't been the man that I'm supposed to be. And I said, well, what do you mean? I mean, yeah, we have little issues, but everything's fine. We're not dealing with anything big or crazy. And then he was just quiet, and then so I started to ask questions, and basically he told me everything.
Sounds funny to me that you don't want to step on his toes when he's leading down this path. Sherry or Alice, what do you...
I picked up on that too, Larry. I wonder what you're afraid of. What are you afraid of?
I think several things.
Okay.
One thing is that, well, we have two little kids.
Okay.
Another thing is that he's a pastor, and we love our church. We're really close with our families, our own families as well. And also, with him telling me that he's suicidal, for instance, last night he left for several hours, and I didn't know if he was going to come back or not, and he grabbed a whole bunch of pills, and he just darted out of the house. And so I was really scared that he was going to take a whole bunch of pills and something was going to happen to him. So I was really, really nervous. And he just gets really angry. And so I have a hard time bringing up any of my emotions or any issue because of his anger, too.
So I hear you. I was married to a pastor who was acting out.
Okay.
So I hear you on so many levels that it hurts, right? Because I get what you're saying about the ministry and your kids and your home and your life. The bottom line is, Catherine, if he doesn't get help, he is self-destructing. Yeah. He is self-destructing. And I know how afraid you are to lose everything, to have the bottom drop out. But if he doesn't get help, it's going to drop out anyway.
Sure.
Right? You might end up getting a sexually transmitted disease.
Right, exactly.
And so these are life and death situations. The church, I mean, when are the parishioners going to find out? Does the elder board know?
Nobody knows.
I know. Well, when I decided to bring the truth to light, there were several things that happened, and but one of the things that happened is we got into treatment, and your husband needs to get into treatment.
Thankfully, we are seeing a Christian counselor as of just a few months ago because I really pushed it. He didn't want it, of course, but he has been going, and it really has been helping. But then 2 days ago, even though he's still seeing that person and I'm still seeing the person and we also go together, he wasn't careful with his phone. He left it on, and so when I woke up in the morning, I didn't even have to touch it. It was like this blaring thing where it was him. His head was cut off, just his body, and I looked at his page, and it was talking all this gay stuff, all this homosexual stuff.
He's imploding, and so there's a few different things that are going on here. One, you've got one therapist that's trying to hold all three pieces, trying to hold the marriage together, trying to hold his sexual acting out, and trying to hold your piece for support. And can I just tell you, it's not enough.
Okay.
It's not enough. You need someone to be working with him so his secrets can come out. Why would he even bring his secrets to this therapist if he's afraid it's going to come out in the open? At some, the elder board at some point needs to know. I would love to get him in to Every Man's Battle. And what he's acting out with is excessive. And it's excessive.
Pastors get a half off.
Oh, is it half off? Okay. So pastors get half off. Thank you, Larry, for the workshop.
And we've got one coming up in Atlanta next April.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Catherine,
I really wanted to go, and I told him. But he's making excuses. He's saying the money. He's saying because last year I wanted him to go, and he wouldn't. And he said, well, last year it was free, and now it costs all this money. And I said, yeah, well, I asked you to go last year, and I was really hoping you were going to go, but you didn't go.
But if he doesn't go, how would he feel if he knew his ministry was threatened? Would that motivate him?
Made public. Just what does that do for the body?
He feels like he should give it up. He wants to quit, and he wants to just find a secular job.
Well, I get it, because he's so split inside, and that might help him actually get into treatment. But you have got to be brave. You've got to be brave. You cannot keep a lid on this. You've got to find the motivation to get him help.
Okay.
And Catherine, I'm going to take a slightly different angle. And I first want to just acknowledge how alone and afraid and trapped you must feel, because you're bearing the burden of this enormous secret. And you're seeing it already start to leak out. And you want help, and you've done a couple good things already. You got him started in counseling. That's something, and that's a very good step, and you're here calling us. So you are making some good moves. And I want to go back to the fear and how trapped you must feel, because I think that you do have to begin picking your pain in this situation. I'm thinking of your two small children, and I'm thinking of how toxic your husband's behavior is, and that they will inevitably be exposed to it in some way and at some level. You are running across his page on the internet. They will too. At least there's a high likelihood that they will, and that they'll be affected by what's going on. So there is great risk in pushing treatment on someone that may not want it at the level of Every Man's Battle. And you're held captive by his talk of suicide, maybe even by threats of suicide, and they may be very real threats. And so what a difficult position you have, because you're torn between him, between your children, between what you know is right. And so part of this is, I'm going to say it again, picking your pain and taking risky steps to require certain things from him to protect yourself and your children. And it will give him the most likelihood of getting better as well. But there is a risk to it. So as Sherry said, we need to be brave, and we will be praying for you in this situation.
Yeah, thank you for your call, Catherine. I can't encourage you enough. Also, you might consider our Restore workshop coming up in April. You have a heart that needs some help as well. If I want to just remind everybody, we're here 2 more hours. So give us a call, 800-229-3000. And Dr. Sherry Keffer and Dr. Alice Benton will help you with the challenges you're facing day to day. We love you. We love what we do here. We are grateful because we see lives change. So thanks for supporting us. Thanks for calling us. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.